The days passed while the men grew weaker and more sluggish at their work, but still the breeze held, and the speed of the west wind did not falter. They passed no ship from which they could obtain water. Their only hope lay in the making of port. They turned northward, lost the trade winds, seemed for a terrible moment to be hanging becalmed, but a stiff breeze caught them and bore them still toward home. Captain Reynolds himself looked more worn and haggard than did any of his men. They were like the flitting ghosts of a ship's crew that morning, when the lookout's husky call of land ho announced the low green shore of Maryland. 18 days from Gibraltar, and all records broken at last. She came into the Susquehanna River for repairs, did the worn but triumphant west wind, and Jonathan Adams came rowing out to board her, his sober face for once all wreathed in smiles. "By 5 days you shortened the voyage," he said, "and I had not really hoped for more than four. I always said she was not a tub, but a real ship at last. There will be others like her, and her children's children will dare to spread such sail that they will cross the Atlantic in half your time." Jonathan Adams' ship, the West Wind, sailed on many voyages, and was the model for other vessels of her class, bigger and swifter even than herself, the great race of American clippers that once ruled the seas. They gave our country the highest place in the world, shipping, and they brought her, even as Humphrey had said, 1,000 miles nearer to her neighbors across the Atlantic.